We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Got a lot going on this week with the Brewers. They're struggling. More on that momentarily. Bucks, Celtics. Tomorrow at this time, Steve Ashburner is going to join us. NBA.com used to work here, right? Which was it combined at the time?
No, he worked for the Journal. This was 70s and 80s. Yeah, he worked. He was one of their top guys at the Journal. Then he ended up going to Minneapolis and cover the Timberwolves. When they opened up shop in Minnesota, he became the Minnesota Timberwolves, and now he's with NBA.com for the last several years.
He'll join us tomorrow. We'll take a look at the Bucks-Celtics series. We'll take a look at the NBA playoffs, and hopefully, we have a game time by tomorrow's show, because it could be tomorrow's show, and they could be playing in 2 days, and we still have no idea. So we still do not know when the Bucks play. I have been searching, and so has Chuck, and we all have the cast of thousands behind the glass frames trying to find out when this game's going to be. Nobody knows.
Yeah, I would think by tomorrow, for sure. You would think by tomorrow, that these, maybe even today, but there's one series after tonight that could be left, and that's the Denver series with San Antonio. But you got to think that Golden State's going to finish off their series. And what's the other series that would be going on? Houston.
Houston and
Utah.
The Utah Jazz.
That one's over, too.
Yeah. Good job.
What's so funny?
We were getting there. You know, the wheels are turning.
You know, I've just got, there's been eight series. I got everything off the top of my head here.
In our heads.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur yesterday speaking, Brian Gutekunst speaking earlier this week at the Packers facility, Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers talking yesterday. Yesterday was a pretty big day. Cole Madison's back. He was talking, says, I'll play wherever. Packers had my back when I needed that year off. I'll have theirs. Mark Murphy celebrating this Titletown Tech expansion. There's going to be Top Golf in Green Bay, Frames.
I think that's great, man. That Top Golf. I wish there was one in Wisconsin. I mean, up in the Milwaukee area. Those are fun, man. Have you ever been to one?
No, but isn't there something like it around here? Isn't there like a different version? Or getting one?
If there is, I don't
know about
it.
Isn't there supposed to be one coming to the Rock facility or in that area?
I thought there was rumors about that, but I don't know.
It's not called Top Golf. It's like the competitor.
I don't know if it ever went up or did go up. I don't. If it did, I don't know about it.
I don't either. But I was thinking, you know, Mark Murphy announcing another expansion of the Titletown District, which you've always ragged on him for. But now that they have Top Golf, I think you're going to quickly fall in love.
I think it's a great idea.
With Mark Murphy.
I mean, golf. I went to Top Golf in Denver. Man. It was, you had to wait like 2 hours to get a place to golf on that thing, a tee time.
Yeah, those are always pretty popular.
And we'll see, you know, how it goes over in Green Bay. But, yeah, I would think if it goes over in Green Bay, we should get one here.
All right, so a couple things that Matt LaFleur said that were non-football related that I guess we're going to do our popular segment, Is This News? Is this news that Matt LaFleur, and we'll hear from him directly, is this news that Matt LaFleur painted or had painted some of the walls inside of Lambeau Field a little bit brighter? Here's Matt LaFleur, Packers head coach.
I think there's got to be a good feeling when you walk into the building. And so certainly I think that was an important part of that. And there was a lot of paint involved and a lot of hard work. And it's a credit. I will say this, the support that this organization has and the urgency with the people that work in this building has been really, really impressive.
So Matt LaFleur came in, said, I want those walls to be brighter. And everybody went chop chop and painted them very quickly. And he's excited about that. Is that news?
I just think, is it necessary for him to come in and change the fonts on the clock and make it brighter and take down some of the pictures.
Just well, the picture thing's a different thing. We'll get into that in a second.
Well, I'm just...
The fact that he painted the walls brighter...
I'm surprised the coach has got that much power.
Here's LaFleur again, just the beginning of it.
I think there's got to be a good feeling when you walk into the building.
Okay, so he wanted a brighter...
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe we're even talking about this. Is this news?
It's news that he made changes like this.
If you walked into Entercom Milwaukee and the walls were brighter, would you be in a better mood?
Maybe subconsciously, but I don't...
Would you?
I don't know. I mean, how about like when in Iowa, the visiting locker room is painted pink because supposedly it makes you relax. It makes you softer subconsciously. That's the theory when you go to Iowa and play football, that the locker room is always pink and you're gonna let your guard down a little bit. Do you really? I don't know.
We always, when we would grow up playing soccer, we wore red because red's an intimidating color. When you play a team that's red or even black for the jersey color or a combination of both, it's more intimidating than when you play a team wearing blue or green.
Now, I knew high school coaches.
But why? But it's a thing.
I knew high school coaches, basketball coaches, who did not want their players wearing black shoes because he felt it made them look slower.
That's a thing, too. Yeah, there's a lot to go into that. So, brighter walls, new fonts on clock, is that going to translate to wins? If I thought that Tyler Dunn's article on Rodgers is going to translate to him playing better, am I crazy enough to think that brighter walls in Lambeau Field are going to translate to wins? No, I do not think
no.
that. But is it news?
It's a little different.
It's interesting.
I'm surprised.
Something to talk about.
I'm surprised, like, LaFleur, of all the things he's got to do, okay, and he talks about, he checks one thing off the checklist and he's got two more to add, that the interior of Lambeau Field is a big deal for him.
Pete tweets in, there are numerous studies and research that has been done on the topic of how workspace environment affects morale, productivity, and culture. Maybe this isn't news per se, but certainly it can't hurt. I guess it's like these new companies that say, hey, we'll have a ping pong table here. Like if we had a ping pong table just show up, would morale throughout our building be better?
We'd get less even done probably around here.
But we'd be more like happy to be at work. So then when we were getting done, we'd actually be more productive than in the time where we weren't. You follow what I'm trying
to
say?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
799-1250.
Well, a guy who you and I worked for one time in a different life, you heard of that feng shui? Am I saying that right?
I hope so.
That was like a thing in the 90s. He brought like feng shui and had these people come in and do all the things in his office. And he thought that was going to promote, togetherness or whatever. And people are like, what? Why? What's the purpose of doing that?
Like he brought in feng shui like as a couch? Isn't feng shui like the, like a aesthetic thing?
He put a plant in a corner. Stuff like that is like...
And that made you work better?
Supposedly, yeah. And he was actually paying somebody to come in and do that.
Well, that seems like a mistake.
Of course.
Money.
Yeah. But now we just kind of accepted it.
I mean, I look over on the studio walls here. We've got bobbleheads.
We have a great...
We've got pictures of Gary Ellerson signed.
Yeah.
We've got an old Charles Woodson wine bottle, which I drank out of recently. It was disgusting and dusty. We've got the L flag for the Cubs. Does that make us like sports more? I don't know. I don't know. I know there's been studies done, but I don't know.
But I think when you walk into our studio, you feel sports radio.
Yeah.
I do.
Now, is that done on purpose? Does that make our show better?
No, but I feel that you
feel... If we went and did the show in a room with no decorations, would our show be different?
I don't know. I mean, like when I walk in, I'm in a different studio. When I walk into this studio, I feel like something's happening. I feel like it's game. We're ready to produce.
How about this? This is a little bit more of the extreme, and I think this is a more critical thing that you can actually look at Matt LaFleur and see if this is the right call or not. He took all the pictures of Lombardi and Holmgren down.
When you come to the Green Bay Packers, obviously you respect the tradition, the history, but for us and this football team, it's about making history.
I get what he's saying. But the Green Bay Packers, part of being a Packer is the history. It's I'm playing for the Green Bay Packers. How many times do you hear guys get signed and they say, I can't believe I'm playing for the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers, one of the, not just the, you know, idealistic franchises in football, but in all of sports around the world. And now he's taking away all those pictures. You know, when Mike McCarthy, that Super Bowl year, he said, I'm going to leave a space open. This is where our picture's going to go when we win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That was motivating. Taking down Holmgren and Lombardi, I don't know about that.
Now, those pictures were taken down from where? From the hallway?
From the hallway.
Yeah, the hallway leading up to the field. Yeah,
replaced with pictures of current Packers. So instead of seeing Lombardi, you might see David Bakhtiari might walk down the hall and see himself.
Okay, but then like if you're another guy in that team, you're saying, how come there's a picture of Bakhtiari and not me on here? Would you say that?
I mean, if you're really insecure.
I mean, if like Randall Cobb, well, Randall Cobb's not with the team anymore. Let's say
Kevin King walks by Kevin and sees King. Josh Jackson, Alexander, and no Kevin King.
Kevin King, though, he hasn't played on the field long enough for anybody to take a picture of him playing, so I guess Kevin King would have that argument.
Travis is in his car, 799-1250. What's up, Travis?
Just had a comment on the feng shui thing. I'm walking into an office at 5 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning with nothing on the walls. You're relying on yourselves to juice yourselves up. What you guys have is passion. You walk into that room, you look around, you see everything around you, and it just gets the juices flowing. You can tell on the radio every day you guys just love what you do, regardless what you're talking about, whether it be a Brewer loss or a Bucks win. And by the way, go Bucks. Can't wait for the next series. Bucks in five.
Yeah, Bucks in five,
feng shui.
Baby. That's where we're going.
Yeah, Bucks well, in five. I got up at six, but we're on the same page of winning the series.
Bucks in six, always. That's for the culture.
We could try that. We could try for a week taking all the decorations down and doing our show and seeing if it changes our show.
But I don't even think of the decorations. I don't. When I walk in here, I don't think
that's the whole point.
Yeah.
This is a human experiment. It's subconscious.
But when I see the microphones and I see the, you know, the computers and all that and the equipment, I think we're at a radio station. I see the TV. I feel we're at a like a sports station.
You know, I'm looking around the studio right now. There's one thing I would like to take down. Are you? I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to take it down. I'm taking it down right now.
What's that?
You know how we have bobbleheads lined up all over the place?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a bobblehead of Pat McCurdy.
Pat McCurdy?
Admirals.
Oh, get him out of here.
It's an Admirals bobblehead?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? In fact, I got a good idea.
I'm going to smash it.
No. Save it for a Bucks moment.
Why?
Well, because inevitably in this Boston series, you're going to need to smash something. And we can save that for a bad moment on our show where we're disgusted about something the Bucks did in this Boston series.
Now, what does Bart have against Pat McCurdy? Pat McCurdy, we're trying to, you know Pat McCurdy, sex and beer.
Oh, he's everywhere.
He's everywhere. Yeah. You guys know Pat McCurdy.
Yeah.
Pat McCurdy would not come on our show to sing a theme song because he says he's got a friend at another radio station.
Yeah, stupid.
So I'm going to break it now.
We could have made his career. No, don't break it. You're going to break it now? There it goes.
All right. Subconsciously.
I could have used that after Kyrie scored his 43rd point against against Bledsoe on
subconsciously, next I'll week do better.
At the Boston Garden.
I'll post a picture on Twitter.
Why do we have that?
I don't know. It was an Admirals giveaway. He's saying it in an Admirals game. His body's still here. His head's over there,
yeah.
And his brain flew out.
How about his guitar and the same three songs that he sings?
It's Chuck and Winkler, Brew Crew Review up next. 105.7 FM, The Fan, your home for coverage once again of this year's draft, not just Thursday, but Friday night. Join myself, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, and many others, including you, for our Fans Friday Night Draft Show, Friday night at 6 o'clock, right here on The Fan.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Little Pat McCurdy to bring us back. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
Yeah, you gave him about 30 seconds of free airtime, more than he deserved just a second ago.
We always got to be starting something, don't we?
Yeah.
If it's not with the jump on ESPN, if it's not with Pharrell on the bench, if it's not with you know, the big show. It's with Pat McCurdy.
I got a big fat elbow for your face, Henry Winkler.
Just trying to get the respect that we deserve.
Well, you know, McCurdy can only benefit a feud with us. Just put it, just so you know.
I would say the same thing about Pharrell on the bench.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm just, even to a lesser extent, McCurdy.
Chuck and Winkler, again, the Brew Crew Review each and every day here after a Brewer game. They lost again last night to the Cardinals, 4-3. Do you know how many they've lost, like, in a row? Is it 5 of their last 6 or 4 of their last 5? I didn't see that stat. I guess we could go do math quick, but I know it's not good. I know they started out 8-2, and now they're 13-12. So in their last 15, they're 5-10. And, you know, in a long season, you expect this. You expect the team to play hot and be very good. And then you expect them to struggle a little bit and look very bad. But something, to me, feels a little different. So there is a lot to be, I think you can be concerned. The starting pitching has not been great. They've already needed to replace two guys, one from injury, one because they have to get him right down in AAA. The first base position is struggling so much that they had a catcher, their big catcher acquisition. He played first. Yasmani Grandal played first yesterday. Combined, him and Pena did go 0-7. The bullpen has been struggling. Even Josh Hader, who's looked so good to start the season, the last two outings, he has a loss to his name. So the Brewers are struggling here. They are still above 500, sure, if that's what you're into. They are two games back in first place in the NL Central. But after that first week, I think a lot of us were feeling pretty good that they could maybe even go wire to wire in this thing. Now, they are struggling. Is it too early to be worried, or is there real worry for concern here?
Well, which is the more real Milwaukee Brewers, the one we saw that go 8-2 and win all those games, the first 10 games of the season, or this one, especially in the last week? I look at the team, the way they're playing right now, they're not playing like a playoff team at all, and they don't have a playoff team makeup. I mean, you like to think guys in the heart of that order are going to come together and get it together. But is Aguilar going to match the 35 home runs that he hit last year and 270, 280 batting average and all the RBIs? I mean, is that going to happen? Arcia, is he going to pick it up ever? I mean, Shaw's starting to hit home runs again, but he's got to get back to where he was last year, home run wise, and hopefully hit better than the 241 he hit last year. Lorenzo Cain is always going to be steady. I have never had a problem. You know, steady defense. I like him in the leadoff spot. Never any ups and downs with Lorenzo Cain. He's going to have good at bats. He's going to have bad at bats. But he's Mr. Consistent. You know, it's Braun. I mean, are we setting the low? I mean, is this the best we could get out of Ryan Braun right now? I mean, is he better than this? I'd like to think he's better than 191. And he's better than a 250 hitter. Hopefully. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'd like to think that maybe 250 is a little bit better than him. And the bullpen is just absolutely awful. There's not a guy in that bullpen other than Hader you trust. Absolutely awful. Every one of those guys in the bullpen, terrible.
Okay, so everything you just said, while true, when you say that, what comes back is, from a large contingent of fans, is it's April. So they're dismissing everything you just said.
Yeah.
It's April. Is it April, or does every game matter? Put the poll up, 1,000 votes. A lot of people tried to say both. No, you have to pick one. Is it too early to have any concern about anything, or does every game matter and you should be worried? 59% of you say every game matters, we should be worried. 41% of you think this is fine, let's let it play out. It's April. You can let it play out, but to a point, I mean, you're going to have to do something. The first base position, there's problems there. The relief, everything you just said.
Yeah.
You can't just, it's April anything. Otherwise, it's going to be September, and you're going to look back and say, where did this season go wrong? Oh, all that stuff we should have fixed in April.
You don't want to get too far behind the Cardinals. The Cardinals are 14-9. You don't want to get swept by the Cardinals. It's a big game coming up this afternoon against these guys. You don't want to get swept by them. The Cubs are playing better. They've won 8 of 10. You don't want to fall behind them at all. You don't want to be chasing the Cubs. All right, you ran them down last year, but you don't want to do that again. You don't want to fall behind the Cardinals. You don't want to be sitting 6 or 7 games out. I mean, look at the Boston Red Sox. You know, I hear people in Boston say, well, it's early. Well, it's 7.5 games out at this point. you don't want to be falling too much further behind than that right now, because you're not going to catch up.
Look, if you're worried that like the season is over, if you're worried that the Brewers suck, they got to blow it up, they're not going to come back.
No, they're not at that point. But
then you can say it's April, because yes, this is a long season. There are 162 games. But there can still be things that need to be addressed. I mean, if it's April, it's like week two, week three in the NFL season.
Okay.
And if you're looking really bad, if the offensive line isn't blocking anybody after 2 weeks, nobody's going to be saying it's September. You're going to be saying, how in the hell do we fix this offensive line?
But
just like we should be saying, how do we fix this pitching staff?
Well, there are guys in this team I think are going to turn it around. I think Shaw's going to be better. I still have hope for Arcia, although it's waning. All right, Aguilar, I'm really worried about him. I don't know. I don't know, man. His bats just aren't very good. First base spot is a problem right now. That's why, as you mentioned, Grandal moved first base last night. And the bullpen, although I think some of the guys in the order are going to turn it around, I don't think that bullpen is any good to begin with. And when I heard Council during spring training, hey, with Knebel out and Jeffers out, some of these other guys are going to have to step up. But those other guys aren't very good, aren't good enough to step up. Jacob Barnes, not very good. Matt Albers, not very good. Alex Wilson, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Again last night, terrible. Claudio, I mean, depending on the day, how good he's going to be, all right? So the bullpen I have no faith in, other than Josh Hader. None whatsoever. And I don't think the bullpen is very good. Yeah, they took a big loss if he doesn't become the Jeffers we saw last year. And without Knebel, because those are two big parts of the bullpen last year. And the pieces that filled in for those guys aren't very good at all.
I think you combine a couple factors. I mean, I don't think we're clicking on all cylinders. You know, some things aren't falling our way. We're in a tough part of our schedule, I think. And so, these wins are tough to come by, and we got to earn them. Collectively, we have to do a little bit more.
That's Council last night, 414-799-1250. It's too early, or every game matters. You did not see the lineup yet, did you?
No.
Don't look. I want to tell it to you.
Oh, okay.
We've got the lineup. Brewers played 12:15. It's Wainwright for the Cardinals.
Oh, these
against Sistine.
Weekday afternoon games. Please tell me Gamble's not leading off.
Gamble's not leading off.
Thank God.
Anything else you certainly want or don't want to see in the lineup today?
Logan Schaefer's not on the roster anymore, is he?
No.
Okay.
Here's your lineup. Leading off in center field, Lorenzo Cain.
I like it. So far, so good.
Hitting second, playing first base, is Eric Thames.
All right, I'll give him a start at first base. A little high in the order, but I'll take a shot with Thames there.
Hitting third, doing the catching, is Yasmani Grandal.
I like it. How about Grandal? He's climbed himself up to a third-place hitter now.
Hitting fourth, playing third, is Travis Shaw.
Wait a second. Somebody's missing from the two-hole. Wait a second here.
Cain, Thames.
Wait a second.
Grandal,
I just caught that.
All right, batting fifth in
left
field.
Whoa. Who's
batting fifth in left field?
Yeah.
Is Ryan Braun.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Batting sixth in right field is Ben Gamel.
So we're giving Yelich a day off against the Cardinals?
Perez at second, Arcia at short, Chacin. Cain, Thames, Grandal, Shaw, Braun, Gamble, Perez, Arcia, Chacin.
All right, it's Yelich gate again, just like it was last year.
It's Chuck and Winkler. More on Yelich gate, more from you guys, 799-1250, 105.7.
Yelich is sitting out.
He can't never sit out. He's got to play all
the time. Not the Cardinals!
He hasn't been good on the road.
I miss those days of guys never taking a day off.
Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
I mean, De Leon, he did a nice job. His fastball was, he stuck to the top of the strike zone with his fastball. Pretty good, really good. We didn't square many balls up against them.
7 Ks yesterday for Ponce De Leon, the Cardinals starter. It's Adam Wainwright today. Brewers fall to St. Louis 4-3, without danger of getting swept.
Christian Yelich, they haven't changed that lineup back and put him back in the lineup for today, have they?
No, the 13-12 Brewers, who are going to throw Jolie Chacin out there today against Wainwright, they do not have Christian Yelich in the lineup. It's Cain, Thames, Grandal, Shaw, Braun, Gamble, Perez, Arcia, and Chacin. The last time Christian Yelich was not in the lineup, it was against the Cubs, and I'm surprised the sky is still where it is because it fell, especially right here on these airwaves. Look, this guy's going to have to get days off. But the problem then was, why do it against the Cubs and not a different opponent? So would you say if you're going to give Yelich a day off, do it Friday?
Yeah, do it against the Mets.
The Brewers do have a day off tomorrow.
It's a two-game swing with St.
Louis. Nobody plays 162 anymore.
It's a game, yeah. But, I mean, I think against your rivals, the Cubs and St. Louis, everybody goes. Against the Mets, San Diego, whatever, fine. Home game against San Diego, that's okay. Set them out, all right? But when you're playing St. Louis or the Cubs, and you've lost two in a row to those guys, Yelly, you're in right field, big boy.
As good as Yelich has been this year, a lot of that's come at home. 14 games at home, 13 home runs, a batting average of .417. On the road, 48 plate appearances, 10 hits, a batting average of .233. No home runs, just a couple RBIs.
Those splits are amazing. That is just incredible. But of course, everybody hits well at Miller Park. I have a good feeling about Thames, though, and that's that two-hole today. I like Thames getting the start at first base. I got a feeling Thames is going to have a good day.
Should I
fantasy him?
Little FanDuel?
Can you get him at a cheap price?
Oh, yeah. Thames you can get. Like, Yelich would go for like $4,900. Thames, I think they'd pay me to have Thames.
So how does that work?
So you get like $60,000 to spend, and then the better guys cost more.
So, I mean, how much does it cost you to get $60,000? Is that...
Well, you can play a dollar contest. You can play a $25 contest.
Okay, but then you're playing against everybody else?
Yeah, you're playing against 25,000 other people.
Oh, geez. Okay. And you got to have the best possible lineup.
Yeah, I'll throw some money in here, and we'll build a cheap Brewers lineup before we're done.
All right.
KJ's in West Dallas, 414-799-1250.
Mahalo, Magalulu.
Nihima, Nihima, Bart, and Chuck.
Hey, KJ.
Rikishi.
The
Hakuna Matata.
The Brewers need to rearrange their feng shui, their chi, their lineup. They need to change some of the pitching, change the first baseman. Confucius say, just because your head is shaped like a light bulb does not mean you are bright. He also said, and I don't know if Confucius said this, but I know someone said, I think maybe you, Bart, you said this, you can't win a pennant in April, but you can lose one in April.
Wow. Actually, it was me, and I was quoting Sparky Anderson.
And I'm pretty sure he was quoting Confucius.
Or Mr. Fuji.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what was happening.
Mahalo.
Yeah, so
Mahalo.
They gotta get it together, man. So that's what I got.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
That was like the shortest KJ call ever. That's all he had today. He expounds a little bit.
Yeah. I checked my email.
Yeah.
One time I went to the bathroom. They're in a KJ call.
Taking a leak or
just,
the other
yeah,
one?
Yeah, just the number one.
Okay.
Mahalo, Magalulu. Check out.
Oh, John and Franklin. Let John go. I'm going to go take a dump.
What a greeting, John. You won't get that at home.
Okay, Bart, we'll see you later. I'll take this thing home. Come on.
Yeah, all right. We only got 19 minutes.
That's all right. John's the kind of guy you want to go out for a drink at a bar after work anyway.
Yeah.
John and I. Couple of old guys like
right.
us. Hey, John. Tell
me. That right player.
There you go. Now you're talking my language. All right, tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I'll tell you what's on my mind. I think about 20 minutes is about how much time I'd have to discuss some, you know, the problems with our Brewers. I'm not trying to panic. I'm trying not to panic. But I am mentally starting to prepare. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I was trying to mentally prepare myself. Look, we almost got to the promised land last year. But it took a Herculean effort at the end of the season and a lot of things going our way. And, you know, I knew it wasn't just going to be an easy trot right back to the postseason. And especially with the moves that went on in the offseason with our main opponents, and I could care less about the Pirates and the Reds. Our main opponents are the Cubs and the Cardinals until we are proven otherwise. And then the moves that we made. Was not a thrill. And Grandal's been a fantastic hitter. But you can give me this pitch framing crap. I'll take anybody on at that. Because, I mean, the guy gets in a game last week, and the first pitch goes by him and takes the umpire out. The guy's, I don't know if it's a lack of focus at time with him, but his bat is, I mean, love his bat. Don't get me wrong there. But I got to tell you, man, it's like last year we were finding ways to win games, tight games, holding on, one-run leads time and time again. And now I'm starting to see a trend over the last couple of weeks. We are finding ways to lose games. And we are losing games in ways we were not losing games last year. And I know one year really doesn't have a whole lot to do with another. But, man, it's just trending in a bad direction. You know, Aguilar, he just looks lost up there. You cannot take my man Arcia out of the lineup. What he does defensively with all the mismatching that's going on this infield, the kid has got to be on the field. But it does befuddle me. I know he hit a home run yesterday, but his batting stance, just the way at times he flails at the ball, it's like, man, couldn't somebody have worked with him to try to clean some of that up? I mean, think of how Council used to bat with that weird, like, you know, shuffle, the waving the bat, the whole chicken dance the guy did. Mm-hmm. He somehow later on in his career corrected that. So I'm not buying into this. You know, he's been swinging a bat that way for so long, you can't change it. But, yeah, guys, I mean, it's just trending bad. And no, you don't take Yelich out. He plays every game against the Cubs and the Cardinals, period.
John, you're right. John, you and I in the 80s would have done some damage in Milwaukee. I'll tell you that, my friend.
No question.
Back in our single days, you and I would have done some damage.
For sure.
Oh, without a doubt. John, speaking my language.
Thanks, John, for the call. I am back, by the way. I felt good.
Yeah.
Good call by John. I heard the whole thing.
Yeah. I hear you, playa.
In the bathroom. Let's see. So the lineup again today. There's no Christian Yelich.
That's great.
Man.
God, you got to sweep this. Avoid the sweep here. You can't let them drop you to 500, man.
Michaels has planned for his show today from 10 to 2, but he could do the first 2 hours on no Yelly in the lineup.
I'm not happy about it.
I would say whatever guest they have, whatever topic they have planned.
Seriously.
Move it back to noon. I mean,
that takes a lot of guts. If I'm Craig Council, and I love Craig, but if I'm making my lineup today, I say, geez, I haven't played a good ball in the league last week. Yelich is the only guy who's carrying me. All right, offensively, he's doing some nice things. Obviously, he's having a great year. Oh, we need to win this game against St. Louis. Yelich, you're not going to play today. I mean, sit Yelich, man. How do you honestly think make a lineup without putting Yelich in against the Cardinals today?
John's in Manitowoc, 799-1250. John.
Good morning, Bart. Good morning, Chuck. How you guys doing?
Hi, John.
Good, you?
Good. Doing good, thanks. I had a couple thoughts in my head about what's going on with the lineup and things like this and everything else. I cannot understand, and I agree with you guys completely, why Yelich is just out on a league on a division game. I don't understand that. And the other thing I couldn't understand is last week Hader pitched twice against the Dodgers, lost both games. Why is he pitching against a non-division opponent that we're not going to see again until August? Don't you want to save him for your division games just in case? You know, I mean, they worked as close, but I would sooner have him as a reliever during a division game that counts as far as our division is concerned, rather than playing some opponent that we only play like once or twice a year. I just don't understand that. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but to me, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I understand you want to get him in. I understand that, but then you can't use him for 2 or 3 days, and what if you need him all of a sudden? Like, no, he's not available. You know.
Well, you had to use. You're talking about using him last Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Sunday. Well, no, you still. I mean, that's still. I mean, the divisional games count more, but I mean, if you pitched him Sunday, which he came into the top half of the ninth inning, you could have pitched him Monday, because he only pitched one inning. You could have pitched him Monday. You could have pitched him Tuesday. You could have pitched him last night if you did him. So I didn't have any problem with him pitching. You know, he pitched Friday night and Sunday. Got the losses of both games, but no, I didn't have any problem with that.
John, good call. Thanks for the call. The Brewers lineup again, real quickly. There is no Christian Yelich. It's going to go Kane, Thames, Grandal, Shaw, Braun, Gamel, Perez, Arcia, Chacin. I will set. I put some money in to play FanDuel, just a $4 contest.
Okay.
So Blake Snell is the bit. I can do a game where there's three games. I can do an early contest.
All right. Now tell me what that means about a $4 contest.
Putting in $4.
Okay.
All right. I can win, if I take first place, I can win $10,000.
Out of thousands?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are 18,000 people that will be in this contest. Man.
So what's the most you've ever won?
I won $500 on a day that Zach Davies pitched against the Cardinals at Miller Park.
Okay.
I took first in a contest.
All right.
But it was just for $500. So, like, Blake Snell, Kansas City-Tampa's a game, Miami and Cleveland's a game, and then the Cardinals and the Brewers are a game.
So you got to pick a lineup out of those games.
Yeah, so Blake Snell costs $12,000 if I want him.
And what's the cap again, 60?
60. Actually, it's only $35,000. Never
mind. Isn't Blake Snell coming off an injury? Didn't he have some stupid injury?
Yeah, but he's the highest pitcher. If I want Chacin, it's only $7,200. So I can take up the four Brewers. I'm not going to fill the whole lineup out on air. I just want you to help me pick the four Brewers that I'm going to take in this lineup.
Well, I told you Thames, and you said Thames is pretty cheap.
So if Paul Goldschmidt is $4,500, the highest first baseman, I can get Eric Thames for $2,500.
I take Thamesy.
Okay. I think we have to take Gamble.
No.
Being on this show,
he's bet 234.
I think we should take the worst Brewers. I'm going to take Gamble. He's only $2,100.
He's that high?
Should I take Chacin or should I go two more position
guys? Well, Chacin himself says he's not an April pitcher. So he's looked terrible. But can he rise up against St. Louis today?
I don't know.
Let's give him a shot.
Yeah, you want to go Chacin?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I just need one more position player. Kane, Grandal, Shaw, Braun, Perez, or Arcia.
Now, Shaw's on a roll. Can he keep this roll going? He's got three homers in the last 2 days. How about Travis?
Okay. He only costs $2,400.
Wow, okay.
Now I've got a ton of money to spend on the really good players. So I'll edit the rest of that during the break.
I like that.
And let you know.
What would Braun be, by the way?
Oh, Braun today cost, like Yelich would have cost $5,200, but he's out. So he's the highest. Braun costs $3,000.
So is that pretty high for Braun, for a guy hitting 190?
No, that's about where Braun is because he can give you home runs.
Now, in his heyday, he would have been a $5,200.
Okay. Oh, for sure. I mean, Yelich is putting up 2011 Ryan Braun numbers.
All right.
So once I win a bunch of money today, I'm going to take you and Horvat out and go to Perkins and just load up with strawberries because it's the Strawberry Freshtival going on at Perkins. Perkins, great for the morning, of course. The fresh strawberry croissant French toast, the fresh strawberry buttermilk pancake platters, and it's not just for breakfast. You can get the fresh strawberry salad, where they throw strawberries on the crisp garden greens, along with smoked pulled chicken, glazed walnuts, feta cheese. Really good health option for you there at Perkins. A lot of great food. Again, an expansive menu, breakfast, lunch, dinner today. If you go to PerkinsRestaurants.com, you can get a buy one, get one e-coupon. So you get a free meal for whoever. You get a meal, they get a meal. Free. Go to PerkinsRestaurants.com. Perkins all over the Milwaukee area. Everything we did not cover, we'll cover it next. Chuck and Winkler. I'm Bart, that's Chuck Ryan Horvat, a gift from the Sports Radio Gods. Today, no Christian Yelich in the lineup. Chris tweeting us, we see her at Miller Park all the time. Here's a different spin, guys. The Cardinals aren't pitching to him anyway. He wouldn't be allowed to make a difference in this game.
Well, he struck out twice last night.
He also walked twice.
And look how, okay, I'll take those, though. I mean, guys on base, that's what this team needs. He's destroying St. Louis pitching this year. Absolutely destroying it.
At home.
Yes, but still, they played most of these games at home. They've only played two at St. Louis. Their manager, the Cardinals, Schilt, was saying last week, boy, I don't know. I don't know how we can pitch this guy. I may have to give him the Barry Bonds treatment. When a manager is talking about that way, about your player, why would you give him a break by sitting him out? He's destroying the Cardinals. Overall, you know, eight games. I don't give a Schilt is probably looking like, God, what was he doing thinking sitting? Yelich, God, oh, thank God he's sitting him out of this game. I don't have to deal with him. No, when you're playing St. Louis and your hitter is doing as much damage to the Cardinals as Yelich is doing, he's back in the lineup.
Ryan Horvat, what did we miss today?
Oh, after two seasons playing for his hometown squad, the Oakland Raiders, Marshawn Lynch looks like he's going to call it quits again for the second time. He's going to retire. Remember when he was almost a Packer?
Yeah, he should have been a Packer. What was it going to cost him, a fifth-round pick?
Yeah, like absolutely nothing.
Randy Moss should have been a Packer.
Well, you know, as it turns out, though, it was good that he went to Seattle because Seattle, he had a big game against New Orleans in the playoffs and eliminated New Orleans from the postseason. Otherwise, the Packers would have had to play the NFC Championship game in New Orleans.
Yeah, he ran all over us in the NFC title game.
Hey,
too,
but you know what, though? Hey, no. Yeah, but he
didn't actually.
He helped the Packers win a Super Bowl in 2010 by eliminating New Orleans.
All right. Kyler Murray remains the heavy favorite at the sports books. He's going to be the number one overall pick, everybody thinks, but went down a lot. So he's all the way down now to minus 400 as of this morning. Nick Bosa, plus 350. And then the Williams kid out of Alabama, plus 500. Does that surprise you at all that there's a chance that Nick Bosa is not going to go number one after all that? I feel like he's arguably probably the best defensive player in the last four or five drafts.
I did a I did a DraftKings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could do the first 15 picks.
Oh, God, that's impossible.
I know. I took Bosa at one.
Did you?
Because I figure a lot of people are going to go Murray. Mm-hmm. And this Murray thing, why didn't they trade Josh Rosen? If they're taking Murray, you're trading Josh Rosen. You're going to take Murray and not trade Josh Rosen? Maybe there's a draft night deal.
I would go, if I had to put money on it, you said Murray is minus 400?
He's minus 400 right now. He was all the way, he was like minus 1200 though.
I still,
all the way last night at like 10 p.m.
I'd take him.
Allegedly. Yeah. A guy texted me while I was sitting in the movie theater all night. I actually didn't watch one sporting event last night.
So you were on your phone during a movie?
Yeah, I saw a double feature last night.
Your wife must have been going through the roof when she found you on the phone.
No, she didn't care. She had her eyes closed the whole time. We saw two horror movies. So
which ones?
We saw Us, and then we saw Pet Sematary, the remake.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Neither were very good, in my opinion.
Us wasn't good?
I wanted it to be, but I had big expectations. After Get Out, I was not happy with it.
Us doesn't sound like a horror movie. It sounds like a love story.
Well, it's a movie where it's like the bad guys are other versions of, like, if we looked outside and there was a Bart, Horvath, and Chuck that wanted to kill us.
Oh, okay.
And that would be a horror story. Mm. Bill Michaels up next. We're back tomorrow at 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.